Chapter 13. Nathan had helped Harry move the furniture down to the first floor of the house, since the new tenants preferred the upstairs. Entering the front door and then the door to their apartment, the women shook the remaining snow from their coats and hats. They looked chilled. His daughters looked grown. He had missed much of their childhood years. Harry slowly rose from his chair by the fireplace to embrace the girls. They ran toward him. Rose waited by the door. She could tell Harry was ill. He looked pale, bloated, and unkempt. She slowly removed her coat and hung it in the girls' sweaters and hats on the hall tree by the door. She removed her cloth gloves and placed them in the pockets of her coat. By then, the girls had hugged and kissed Harry and run into their room. She looked more closely at her husband after they left. He looked up at her, fixing his eyes on hers while reaching for her hand. He didn't speak because it had all been said before, and the recriminations could wait. They both knew the script far too well. Rose could see that uncontrolled diabetes had taken its toll. She had sense enough to wait until later to question and examine him. Looking into Harry's eyes, she suddenly felt guilty for abandoning him. She'd known as a nurse and his wife that he would not take care of himself and what the consequences were likely to be. She had done what he had accused her of, chosen Abby over him and Natty, with nothing to show for it. She wished he'd never stopped practicing law. He would have had a purpose and somewhere to go every day other than to a depressing store. He might have cared about what happened to him. As it was, life had been a huge disappointment to them both. She felt she was entitled to get whatever enjoyment she could despite a sick husband and daughter. Wasn't she entitled to a life? Later, after a dinner of the simple food Laura had bought, the girls sat with their father to recount their adventures in Cleveland. Natty hadn't told anyone else about Kathy, so it was the first time Abby heard about her. Natty shared details of where Kathy was from and what they did together. Daddy sat in his chair by the fireplace, a handmade quilt in his lap. Natty pulled up the extra chair to sit close to him, holding his hand as they all talked. Abby sat on the sofa. The reunion was pleasant. Daddy seemed to be listening closely, laughing at all the right moments. All three seemed to be relishing the moments, calm, pleasant, and all too rare. She's so pretty with light blonde hair, and she's smart, too. Most of the very pretty girls can be so snobbish, but Kathy isn't. We're going to write to each other. Maybe she'll come visit sometime. She wants to see New York. You forget how pretty both of you girls are. You're even prettier now, almost all grown up, Daddy said. I don't have any friends, said Abby. How could I make friends? We were always traveling to see stupid doctors. Daddy and Natty looked at Abby sympathetically. Mother wasn't in the room. Natty thought that was probably why Abby had spoken up about how she felt. I heard you went out with boys, said Abby, sounding like she was trying to get Natty in trouble. It was a lot of fun. Kathy and I double-dated boys from school. Nothing serious, we just had fun. Don't you have a boyfriend, Abby? No, never, yelled Abby as she stormed off to their bedroom. Don't leave, Abby. I want to hear more about your adventures, Daddy said. What adventures, Daddy? All I did was see doctors. Ask Mother about our adventures. Abby went into the bedroom and listened as Natty continued to talk, now moving on to tell their father about the books she'd read, school, and her time with their grandparents. Abby didn't want to talk about her trips to the doctor. She didn't want to relive those visits or the stays in cheap boarding houses. She also worried that she would upset Daddy by discussing them, aware that he seemed ill and unhappy. Instead, when he came into the room later to see how she was doing, she told him about the brief period she and Mother had spent in Cleveland. She told him how proud she felt having taken her schoolwork on the road and her good grades. Rose also listened from the kitchen that after months of neglect she was attempting to clean. She was happy the girls could cheer Harry with their anecdotes. She anticipated the hours after the girls had gone to bed when she could examine him, no doubt finding ulcers on his legs and feet and peripheral neuropathy. She told herself not to scold him. She would make sure to comfort him and promise to take care of him. That had been her plan, but soon after the girls collapsed with exhaustion, Harry announced he was going to bed. "I get so tired, Rose. I don't know what it is. I can barely manage the store anymore. I wake up tired. It never goes away," he said despairingly as he struggled to get out of the chair to put the fire out. "Don't bother, I'll get that," said Rose, picking up the poker to spread the remaining ashes. "What will become of us, Rose?" Harry began to recite as he took the poker from her hand and held her to his chest. Harry whispered a favorite stanza from a poem by George Eliot. "You love the roses, so do I. I wish the sky would rain down roses as they rain from off the shaken bush. Why will it not? Then all the valleys would be pink and white and soft to tread on. They would fall as light as feathers, smelling sweet, and it would be like sleeping and like waking all at once." "Harry, Harry," Rose softly whispered in his ear, "let me help you to bed. We'll talk tomorrow." Harry stayed in bed all the next day while Rose shopped and straightened the house and the girls got used to being home again. When he wasn't sleeping, Natty read to him from the Seven Wonders of the World. Abby occasionally stopped in to say hello or bring him food that Rose had prepared. "Rose, you must have forgotten something. All I see are a few vegetables and a hard-boiled egg," called Harry from the bedroom to Rose in the kitchen. "Do you want me to help you, Harry? Then eat what I give you." "No more pancakes," Rose called back, jovial yet firm. Harry looked at Natty sitting beside him. He winked and smiled at her reassuringly. He signaled with his fork that she should resume reading. The next day he got ready to go back to work and shuffled on swollen ankles to the garden store a few blocks away. Rose had packed a lunch of more vegetables and a few pieces of cheese. He grunted when he saw what was wrapped in the wax paper. "Harry," she said as he put on his hat, preparing to leave, "I have an appointment today at the hospital to get my job back." "Don't worry. Max and Bob gave me some money. If you have to quit the store, we'll be all right for a while." "Quit the store? It's just starting to pick up with spring coming." Harry took his hat off and held it in his hands. "I won't take money from Bob or Max, Rose. You know I won't, and you know why. I'll work till I drop dead in the store. Send that money back today, Rose. And don't take any more money from Laura, either. What does she want from you? What does she get out of this friendship of yours? I won't starve or let the children starve because you refuse to take help," said Rose. "You want to work till you drop dead, that's up to you. But it's because of your pride we live in such a shabby dump. I have to flirt with the butcher to get marrow bones." "That's not why you flirt with the butcher, Rose," he said quietly, putting his hat back on his head and turning his back to leave. "I won't hear anything bad about Laura, Harry. I won't hear it," called Rose to his retreating back.